to first know what you want us to believe, and second, to know what you want us to do with what we believe. And I just pray you'd help us to understand your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, how many of you have heard, as I remember being taught, that there are two men in the Bible that the Bible doesn't mention any sin that they've done? And that was Joseph and Daniel. How many have ever heard that? Okay, one, two, a few, three. Okay, I remember being taught that. And we're going to discover something that Daniel allowed to be done that is a pretty grave sin. But I'm not going to be critical of them, because both Daniel and Joseph, both of them had some amazing trauma that happened to them in their teen years. They were both ripped away from their family, from the security of their family. Joseph's parents were not, killed or anything. Daniel's parents probably were killed in the siege. So Joseph, with his brothers, where they, played that or pulled that plot, and then continued to lie their own dad for over a decade. That right there. Okay, so Joseph went through that, passed the test, and so the possible wrong, and it's really maybe not all his fault, was that he allowed Egypt to become a socialist state. Okay, so that would be probably the thing, but that's really wasn't all his fault. Now with Daniel, we're in Daniel chapter 2. This is after the dream. Okay, so remember in Daniel's story, as a 15-year-old kid, ripped out of his family, security of the life that he was living, and then made a eunuch, so there's no family life from then on out, no children, no grandchildren, no great-grandchildren, no nothing. Torn from his family and stayed in Babylon 70 years and even into Media Persia. So he now, a year or two later, so maybe 19, maybe 20, Nebuchadnezzar has this strange dream. And then he asks the wise men of the day, the astrologers, the soothsayers, the witches, the warlocks, and everything. He asks them to tell him what he dreamed. And he said, "I forgot what I dreamed, so you tell me anyway. If you don't, off with your head." And so, very unreasonable thing, but still, that was the Oriental king's order that he gave. And then Daniel comes in and tells him what he dreamed. And then he realized, he did tell me what I dreamed. I remember now. And then gave him the interpretation. The interpretation was five worldwide kingdoms that's going to come down the line. Okay, and we have the advantage of history of looking backwards, that Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome fulfilled the first four. We're waiting for the fifth one. Okay, the fifth one is revised Roman Empire. Then in Daniel 70, he had three world kingdoms and the revised Roman Empire. In Daniel 80, he had two world kingdoms and then the revised Roman Empire. Daniel 9, there was one world kingdom mentioned and then the Roman Empire. And then Daniel 11, he jumps right into it. So Daniel 2, in verse 46, that's where we got to the paragraph mark. Daniel 2, 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. Is that good or bad? That's sacrilege. Okay, now put yourself in Daniel's shoe. This rascal killed my family, ruined my upbringing. This rascal right here caused the death of hundreds of people. Kind of nice him bowing down to me. kind of pleasurable a little bit. Okay, maybe or may not he felt that. But then again, in this situation with the Oriental king, if he would have said, "Get up, I'm a man like you," the king might have said, "Off with your head." Those guys shift like that back and forth immediately. But this is a pretty heavy deal. Not only did he worship him, you ever see somebody at a baseball game or a sporting activity, if a guy hits a homer, some of the fans go, "He's a god, he's a god," you know? That's kind of like this, but this is all the way on his face, and that's the real place of worship, when we go all the way down on our face toward God. But then he commanded that there should be, that they should offer an oblation of sweet odors on him. Then he had a sacrifice given to him. That's pretty heavy. Okay, so somebody could, a lot of times you ever hear somebody where they talk about Job and then they rip on Job's wife, how, you know, she told Job, curse God and die. Put yourself in her shoes. You know, God blessed her with 10 more children after that, so I'm not quick to judge Mrs. Job on that idea. A lot of guys are. But a lot of times people are pretty quick to put things. It's kind of funny, sports commentators, where they'll say, "This guy, you know, this running back, he should have went this way." And they've never played a game of football in their life. And they're sitting up in the top of the booth watching the whole thing. You don't see up there what you see down there. "Oh, that guy should have thrown the pass." Okay, when you see three or four big gorillas coming at you, okay, then you relax and throw it to the right place. No, it's easy to comment about what other people are doing. Okay, even if you've been in that situation, you all know that when you've been in the same situation, you would have done things differently when you analyze your own self. So here Daniel is. He's probably 20 years old. And here's a guy in front of him that ruined his upbringing, the security of his upbringing, brought him to a foreign country. And now I interpret a dream and he's bowing down to me. Yeah, it's kind of a nice place. Kind of a nice place to watch that guy lick my boots for a while. Okay, so then he offered an oblation. So that, you know, a person can piously say, he should have said, "Nebuchadnezzar, get up." Because that's what Peter did. When Cornelius bowed to Peter, the apostle Peter said, "Get up, Cornelius, I'm a man like you." Yeah, it's easy to say when you're not in a situation. Okay, and so he just stood there. Okay, verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods." That's right. Amen. "And a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets." That's right, he is. "Seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." That's right. You're giving glory now to the right place. And Daniel, when he interpreted that dream, remember that he gave glory to God through that whole process. So Daniel in type is a type of the Holy Ghost. Joseph is in type a type of Christ. Both of these men today are very, very happy they stayed faithful. Very happy. And going through the trial when Joseph was in jail for a couple years, probably crying himself to sleep at night, probably wondering why God's not answering his prayers at that time. Now, looking back on it, wow, God, you chose me for a pretty high calling. Thank you for doing that. So Joseph and Daniel. Okay, then it makes this statement. Verse 40, "Then the king made Daniel a great man." No, he didn't. Okay, "In the eyes of men, he made Daniel a great man." Daniel, if you want to say it, he was a great man before that. Okay, but Right here, it gives us a clue how people view others. Okay, and we are subconsciously ingrained this since we're little. Okay, the world, they put greatness in a certain fashion. There's three characteristics, I guess you could say. Now, in the New Testament, people that honor what they think is a godly man, sometimes they'll say a great man. Okay, I'd hear this over and over, Hiles Anderson, Dr. Hiles, a great man, great man, great man. Okay, and how about he's a man who has a great God? Okay, in the New Testament, I think that would be a better state, and not being pious or spiritual, all that stuff. But when you tell a guy over and over he's a great man, the head starts swelling. And it's not a good practice to do. Flattery is like perfume. It's nice to smell, but don't swallow it. Okay. And in Proverbs, he warns people about people who try to flatter somebody else, because sometimes they're flattering you with a left, you know, popping you with a nice, and then coming through this way with an uppercut. Okay, but this tells us how the world views greatness. Okay, the way God views greatness is Calvary. Okay, God's love for each and every one of us is at Calvary. Okay, in the Old Testament, it would be okay, it would be allowed that a person could say, so-and-so, Job's a great man. Okay, that's fine. Old Testament, that's part of his righteousness. In the New Testament, any righteousness that any of us have is not ours, but the Lord's. So that's why we would throw that idea, he's got a great God. Okay, but not being pious, because piety is about like a dog foaming at the mouth. Okay, our dog, we used to have a shepherd, and one was a mutt, but whenever they, you ever see a dog when they, you see a toad in the summertime, and our dog would, and then it'd foam at the mouth, and it's just like, stupid dog, why are you biting it? Oh, it's just fun to play with, and they foam, because they put off, they emit a poison, and the dogs hate that, and they're foaming at the mouth. Okay, how does the world view greatness? Okay, for the females, okay, it generally goes in this fashion: beauty first, intelligence, or wealth. Those two can be interchangeable, but it's usually beauty first. Okay, several years ago there was a news broadcaster where somebody, there was a serial killer, he killed a bunch of women. A news broadcaster kind of said in the comment, oh, how many women had died. And the sad thing, they were beautiful women. So if they were ugly women, that'd be okay? Why did he say that? Because in his mind, and in our culture's mind, we measure the value of a woman by beauty first. Now, who dictates the beauty? That's in the eyes of the beholder. They have thrown Barbie and Ken to be the example to all the girls. And if you look at Barbie, she's probably transgender. Okay, so, okay. And many of these models are really, truly transgendered. Okay, now some of them are coming out to admit it. And women can't get the body fat down like men can when men really work out. And so they're looking at something that they cannot attain. And it's an endless cycle where the devil will get the person like a dog chase after the tail until the day they die. So for the women, now how do we get this ingrained? We get this ingrained as a little girl. We will say to the little girl, you are such a pretty little girl. Okay, so we don't say that to the boys. If we do, you ought to smack them. Okay, we would say you are a smart little guy. So for the guys, it will go intelligence first, and beauty and wealth will be interchangeable. Usually it's wealth in there. So if a person knows somebody is a multimillionaire or a billionaire, they automatically, oh, I'm going to pay attention to him. Yeah, but what if he got that by stealing it from somebody? But that's what's ingrained in us, okay? And so here in this context, when it says that Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel a great man, as we keep reading, we will see how the world decides that, okay? The king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts, okay? So wealth. Wealth, that's what the world views it, wealth. Okay, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Wealth and prestige. Political prestige. Okay, but anybody that looks at politics, and you could see that some of these people that get to the top are some of the biggest scumbags you will ever see in your life. They'd sell their own mother out for a nickel. That's how they got there. How did they get there? Well, if you think about it, in the federal level, okay, let's say somebody's a federal worker and you got somebody over them in the federal level, and they got 20-some people in this little branch part of this part of the federal level, and the guy in charge says, okay, we need to move somebody up the ladder. Who is that person going to suggest to move up to the next rung? Somebody that does a lot of work that makes his life easy, or somebody who's a pain in the behind? That doesn't do anything. The untouchable. A black, lesbian, Catholic woman. That's an untouchable. Can't say anything about her gender, or you can't say anything about her choice of religion. You can't say anything about her sexual preference. No, that's all discrimination. So the guy in that federal level, he is going to up the one who makes his life the most difficult. They move up the ladder. Next level, same thing. So who gets to the top? The laziest piece of scum that you're going to find. Each one keeps passing it up. And then what do you get? You get Chuck Schumer. Nancy Pelosi. I mean, Maxine Waters. What a thing. I mean, when they get to the top, they'll sell it. I mean, these people will lie in seconds in front of you, say one thing, and seconds later say another thing. And these Democrats running for the Democratic Party, they are doing all they can. We'll give you money. Where are they going to get it? They've got to steal it from somebody. You see, and when you see these people, and the people, oh, can you believe? Oh, yeah, don't turn your back on them. Don't turn your back on these people, because they will take a knife and stab you right in the back. Okay, and Nebuchadnezzar learned, that's a lesson God told Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4, What Nebuchadnezzar learned? He sets the basis of men. That's what he does. The exception proves the rule. Okay, if you go back and look at history, and when you have a good King James, that is an exception. For every King James, you've got 100 Bloody Marys. Okay, a King George. Okay, and so in this context, if we understand that, then we understand that people feel your net worth is based upon beauty, wealth, and intelligence. Okay, where God views our net worth at Calvary. That's where he views it, at Calvary. We're all equal at the cross. Okay, but notice Daniel, he is quite a guy. He is a man of great character. Okay, where he's put over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And don't you know those wise men were so stinking mad that he put this stinking Jew over us? Oh, they hated that. It'll show up later in his life. But Daniel, in consideration for his friends, As he, quote, moved up this political ladder, he did not forget his friends. He said, Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Okay, so his friends got moved up also. And then there's an interesting statement, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Okay, now that is a political position in the gate of the king. Okay, so it's not a gate per se, it's like the door or the gate that comes into the city. Okay, and we don't really understand what that means in our culture, so this is how you get a Bible definition. You look up the word gate, and then you run that through the Bible, and you'll discover that when a man sits in the gate, that's the phrase they use, that is either a political position or a judicial position, or it's the place of official business, the selling of land, where it's recorded publicly in the gate. In our culture, where is that publicly recorded? In the local county courthouse. Okay, and if you wanted to appraise the county, and if you as an individual want to send a notice to the county, the way you do it is you type it out, put the notice, type it out, whatever you want to notify the county. Sign it, okay, sign it in front of a notary if you want it as far as it's under oath or penalty of perjury. Take it to the county courthouse, there's a bulletin board, and pin it up. Or to your post office on the billboard, pin it up. Okay, I drew up a 5-page document on street preaching and witnessing publicly. It's 5 pages, it's legal document, legal paper. Had it notarized. I cite several Supreme Court cases, several federal cases, and I basically notified Jasper County and Lake County that we intend to go out publicly. You say, yeah, but nobody reads it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're notified when you come into this town of Lowell. It will say the town of Lowell incorporated. That's a notice. If you don't like the municipality as far as Lowell goes, if you don't like the regulations, then drive around the town. Okay, that is a notice. You ever go into a court, into an airport, and you'll see notices here and notices there? You go into a government business and notices? When you walk by that, you are responsible for that notice. Okay, now you could challenge them if it comes up. You can challenge. There's ways of challenging those things. But or another way you can notify it is in the newspaper 3 weeks in a row in the legal department. Who reads that? Attorneys know the way they can make the money. They're the ones that read that. Okay, so that's how in the old days, in the early colonial days, the way the colonists used to do it. Has anybody been to Williamsburg? Is it Williamsburg down in Virginia? Has anybody ever toured that? A couple of you. It's a great place to go. Great place to go. It's a setting of Williamsburg back in the day. And when we went, there was a Presbyterian guy preaching in this little church, and all these tourists coming, and that guy preached a gospel message, and they're all sitting there. And when I walked, I said, "Good preaching, brother. Good preaching." And you know, I know you were acting, but man, it was good. But in those little stores, you'll find somebody will put a notice in a store. My son's doing this. Would you pray for him? Those people they posted it in Williamsburg. You can see that, and that's how the Pilgrims. And the Puritans and those people of the earlier colonial days, they would take it to the local little church. In the churches, especially the Baptist churches of those days, that's where they kept the armament, the guns, and the hymn books. And King George would get so mad, and he said that Presbyterian rebellion, because it was the preachers preaching to the people the right of independence. And George Washington, history shows that at the later part of his life, he was so impressed with the Baptist chaplains that he made a profession, and Pastor John Gano baptized him. Now, the Masons try to keep him in their little fold, but that's a testimony of that. And the neighbor of James Madison was a pastor named John Leland, a Baptist preacher. And when Madison showed him the Constitution that they drew up, he said, "You have nothing on the free exercise of religion." And so that's where the Bill of Rights came from a Baptist preacher. Many of the Baptists were being arrested because in Virginia, the Congregationalists put out a the Anglicans put out a tax and wanted a Baptist to pay their church fees, and the Baptists wouldn't do them, they'd get arrested. And Patrick Henry, when he was a little boy, his dad took him to the jail where the Baptist preachers were housed, and people would get around the jail and they'd ask the preacher to preach to them. "He can't come to us, we'll go to him." That's the revivals we had. Some of that I learned, a lot of that I knew from history, but it was kind of renewed in my mind when I went down to North Carolina. There's a fellow that they try to keep the Baptist history preserved. I'm going to get on that website. They have pictures where a Baptist preacher was martyred here, one was martyred here, one was jailed here. That is how our country began. In the 1760s and 70s, the Baptist churches grew like wildfire throughout the 1700s until the culmination of our country, the birth of our country. It was the Baptists and the Presbyterians. Many of the founding fathers were Calvinists, but yet then they threw in the free exercise of religion, so they kind of threw that to the wayside. We have such a wonderful heritage. And if we don't know, or if we don't aren't taught these things, we're going to learn from history, we're going to lose it. And so this one church, this one brother down there, that they've sought out like cemetery plots where John Witherspoon was a preacher, and they found his cemetery spot, and all it had on his tombstone was J.W., one of the greatest preachers. So they found it, put a nice cemetery plot for him to commemorate his faithfulness. Okay, all that, Daniel sat in the gate. Okay, he sat in the gate. Okay, if you read chronologic through the Bible, the very first person you're going to find sitting at the gate would be Lot. Remember, he sat at the gate of Sodom. So Lot was some type of a judge, a judicial official in the city of Sodom. That's why those Sodomites said to him, "Who made you a judge and ruler over us?" Well, obviously you did. An elected position, unless it's appointed judge. And so that's where that phrase comes from. If you would, Proverbs 22, verse 22. This "in the gate" is found many times throughout the Bible. In our culture, "in the gate" would be around the courthouse in Jasper County. So I can go anywhere around the courthouse, on the steps, hold out Bible verses. Okay, when the judge comes out, you can throw out Bible verses. You can't be in contempt of judge. He can say all he wants in the courtroom and bully his weight around, but when he gets outside the courtroom, he's in my jurisdiction, public territory. And he just might hear the gospel. Proverbs 22, verse 22. He says, "Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause, court setting, and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them." So, you can run other places. In the reference Bible, I used Esther 3:2, and I'm sure if you go back, there's going to be a bunch of more references. In the gate. That's where Mordecai was, in the gate. Okay, and so that's the tremendous heritage we have. I knew a brother that went street preach over in Washington, D.C. They were standing on the sidewalk out in Washington, D.C. They were street preacher holding signs, whatnot. And one guy just thought, okay, I'm eye level here, so I think I'll just step up on a step like this, so I got a little higher. And it was the steps to a federal building. Okay, legally, technically, public property, federal building. So as soon as he stepped there, somebody out of the building came down, a black man. He said to this guy, get back on down there. He said, you're protesting. He said, I'm not protesting, I'm preaching. He said, you know, get where you're supposed to be. And so this guy just said, don't tell me to sit in the back of the bus. Guy went back in a building. That one worked. That's what he was doing. And that sort of kind of worked. And so you do have a right to go into an airport and pass out gospel tracts. You have a right to go to a county fair, pass out gospel tracts. But what you don't want to do is cause a crowd that can affect the flow of traffic. Okay, that's where they have a right to step in. Okay, and there's many, many court cases to show that. Okay, and so what's significant about this statement, Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Next chapter, you see where it's gone? Okay, how many have heard this before? In this next story about Nebuchadnezzar building this statue, this monument toward himself, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah was in the crowd. Daniel was out on official business someplace else in the kingdom. Has anybody ever heard that? I've heard that. Where did they come up with that idea? Where was Daniel in chapter 3? In the gate. Same place. He had to watch this take place. Now, if he would have appealed to Nebuchadnezzar, maybe he could have prevented some things. But Nebuchadnezzar, it does appear when a man's built up a statue, put some money into it, he's probably not real reasonable. And from God's perspective, God probably said Daniel earned his spurs in chapter 2. So the three, his buddies, they need to earn their spurs. And so possibly they earned theirs in chapter 3. But Daniel's sitting there watching this. If chapter 2, verse 49, he's still in that gate area, he couldn't have interrupted the king. And just sitting there, watch this take place. So, chapter 3, you got the image of gold. Instead of starting out, you run through that. And it appears to me that he is setting up what's called an obelisk. Okay, that's the Washington Monument. Very tall, very thin. Okay, and that's something that was known in Babylon, then in Egypt. There was one in Egypt, and then a pope wanted the one in Egypt to the Vatican. It's a pagan symbol. But how do you get it from Egypt to the Vatican without breaking it? And so the pope tried to get somebody to do that, but the problem is that whoever is going to do it, they had to guarantee it wouldn't break. So when he took it down, and if it broke, the guy would get the death sentence. That's kind of hard to get bids when you have that kind of stuff given to you. But a guy did come up and he did it. And so there is one of these things in the Basilica of St. Peter, because it goes from Babylon to Egypt to the Vatican. And so chapter 3, we'll stop there. And we'll come. We'll look at that next time. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to see what's going on, help us to appreciate what Daniel faithfully went through, and some of the things that, didn't bat a thousand. Hey, we're not going to worry about that. That's between you and he, and I pray that you'd help us to be faithful in what you give for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.